everyone. I want to just take this opportunity before I forget to wish a refuah shleima to Mrs. Sinsky, a regular chassidah this year for the last 2 years. She just had surgery. I think she's home now, and we hope Mrs. Shalva refuah shleima. And in a few weeks, she'll be back in the shir. But she misses the shir so much. She sent me an email to say how much she regrets not being able to be here, and we regret, of course, not having her. So if you have a chance, you can call her with a refuah shleima. I'm sure she'll appreciate it. I also take this opportunity that we should all daven, that we should meheri yabana, we should quickly finish the conclusion of the second stage of the building so that we can have a proper classroom for the shir with proper tables, and hopefully we'll all make do with the current situation. I want to take this opportunity just to catch everyone up to speed. We ended last year's learning before the summer. That was our 42nd shir, for those who are keeping score at home. 20 the first year, 22 last year, all of which to get us to the end of Perek Dalet in Bereishis. That's what's called a shir b'iyud. If you're looking to make aliyahs in the other room, if you want to learn Torah, we're here. I'm enjoying the way that comes off. I'm enjoying that. Okay. Sometimes you got to decide in life. Anyway, so we ended off in the end of Perek Dalet, which is really a critical stage in terms of the end of what could be called either the first chapter, or depending on how you wanted to call it, maybe the second chapter in human history. We have spent over those 2 years, of course, learning not only about the creation of the world, but then the original Adam and Chava story with the snake and the Eitz Hadas. We spent a lot of time, many shurim in depth with the Mefarshim discussing that story. And we then either went into step two, or if you will, 1B, which of course was the issue of Adam and Chava's children, Cain and Hevel, and the disaster that occurs there, both in terms of the killing of Hevel as well as the cursing of Cain and his permanent wandering status, so to speak, and really his oblivion from the history. I don't have more sheets. I didn't know kind of how many people to expect. But please share and look on. That's maybe one advantage of the round tables. We're all sitting close together. And believe it or not, if you promise to come next week, I promise to make more sheets. Okay. So we ended Perek Dalet at that stage, whether you want to call it the end of first stage or second stage of human history. And really, from now until the end of the parsha, which is another parak or two, we're basically transitioning to the second great drama of human history, which of course will be the story of Noach and his generation. And really, we are right now at the beginning of Perek Hay in a transition stage. In fact, if it took us 43 shurim, which would be an average of 10 plus, 42 shurim, 10 plus per perek until now, in only a handful of shurim, we'll already be done with Perek Hay, because most of the perek is very technical genealogies. However, the introduction to those genealogies, which is the description of the 10 generations that go from Adam to Noah, so that an introduction to that genealogy begins this week at the opening of the parak. And in fact, I think if we think about it, just in the first two psukim, which are really the introduction to the genealogy, there are actually two very, very profound lessons that are found in this opening of Perek Hay. So why don't we begin with just the first few psukim? We'll read even the first three psukim, although in terms of an in-depth commentary, we'll be waiting until next week, Yemir Tashem, to focus on the third pasuk. But let's just begin, just so we get a sense of things, and read the opening few psukim of Perek Hay. Everybody have a chumash. The main thing is if you have a chumash and Rashi, you'll be set. The sheets are an added bonus. So the Torah tells us here in Perek Hay, Pasuk Aleph, Ze Sefer Toldos Odom. Anyone want to take a guess on how to translate that? Ze Sefer Toldos Odom. Oh, really, Harry? That was well done. Okay, all right, Rabbi Art Scroll. Okay, Zeh Sefer, this is the book, right? Really a book, Sefer really means book, typically. Or if anything, the other etymological would be kind of a counting or a numbering, a cheshbon. But yet, Artscroll translated it, not as a book, and not as a cheshbon, but rather as an account. Where did Artscroll get it from? So we'll have to see. But it's certainly not a simple word to translate. And the truth is, even the reference to the word Sefer in this context is somewhat surprising. But we'll have to keep both those things in mind. Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. Are we talking now? We have two possibilities. What does Adam mean here? What does Adam mean? What could it mean? It could mean either Adam, but I'll call it the lowercase Aleph, or the uppercase Aleph. It could mean Adam, the man, Adam, the individual, or it could mean Adam, the species, right? As a very big difference. Not earth-shattering difference, but certainly a difference. That's another thing for us to keep in mind. What is being implied? So literally every word here really is subject to interpretation. Zez Sefer told us, Adam, Biyom, on that day, Baro Elohim Adam, on that day where Hashem created Adam, Bidmus Elohim, in the image of God, Asa Oso, He made him. The one thing I noticed, which I don't have an answer for, is the transition, right? The verbs, right? It's bara and it's asa. Why the transition? If anyone has any ideas or you've seen any mafarshim, please let me know because I'm not sure. But I did notice that. Okay? However, one thing, we seem to almost answered one of our own questions. We had asked, which Adam is this? All mankind or just Adam? So it seems, at least from the simple reading of the text, that we're talking about Adam, the individual, because we then specifically focus on him, the individual, when he was created. But we'll see that it's not so simple. Let's see Pasuk Beis, which is where things start getting not so simple further. Zachar u'nekeva bar'am. All of a sudden we went from Adam, which either means everybody or just Adam, and yet here we have option three, referred to as Adam in the plural, Zachar u'nekeva, male and female, he created them. Vayivarech osam, and he blessed them. Vayikra es shemam Adam, and their name is called Adam. Does everyone have a chumash? How many chumashim are we short? Just two? So maybe somebody, there's some other chumashim here. Please give to the other table. So Zachar unikeva, we have male and female. Shemam Adam. So everything in the beginning of the pasuk is plural, 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 which itself was a surprise from the end of pasuk Aleph. But then the conclusion of the pasuk, we go back to what seems to be a more specific or singular, right? Vayivarech osam, he blessed them. Vayikras Shemam, their name is called Adam. How do you make sense of that? Right. So what I'm trying to point out is that we have a back and forth of plural and singular. Are we talking about Adam the person, all of mankind, Adam and Chava? In Pasuk Aleph, in Pasuk Beis, there's confusion in both directions. Yes?
Pasuk Aleph, there really is no, in my opinion, problem with using Baro and Asa, because Baro, the creation of man as a human being, was from dirt, from whatever. That was the creation.
Okay.
But the Musa Elohim already existing. In other words, you use the spiritual.
And that's awesome.
It was already there, it wasn't created.
Okay, good. That's a good theory. Very good. I like that. I don't know. I didn't see any of the Mepharshim. So for now, we have one parish. His name is Gene. What's your Hebrew name?
Yaakov.
Okay, the Riff of Yaakov Fisher. The Riff has suggested. Okay, I'm not being facetious. It's a good shot. It's really better than anyone I had before now. Let's just read Pasuk Gimel just to get a flow a little bit. We won't focus on it again so much tonight, but let's read Pasuk Gimel. Vayechi Adam, so how long was the life of Adam? Shloshim u'ma'ash shana. He had been living for 130 years. Yoled bin Muso kitzalmo. He then gave birth to someone who was in his likeness and in his image. Vayikra es shemo Shes. And he called his name Shes. Now, we're not going to focus on this Pasuk tonight, but I just want to make two observations. One is that as we begin this parak is about the genealogy, the transition from Adam and Chava and their generation to the 10 generations leading up to Noah, Nachshon. So, one thing that's striking, number one, is that we go back and start with the genealogy of Adam himself. We don't skip him. We don't go right away to generation two. We start back with Adam. Just an observation, maybe it's not consequential. But what's fascinating is, once we go back to Adam, and now we're going to start at the beginning and then go to generation two, what is interesting is that the Pasuk specifically focuses on... Yes, but one second, I'm looking for which of the children? Anybody else? You here for the shear? Or are you here to make Aliyah? Okay. Okay. Please, come, sit down. So the pasuk here focuses on only sheikhs. Now, it's significant for a variety of reasons. First of all, you would expect all three children. I mean, you know, we don't like to play favorites. That's a problem later in Sefer Bereishis. But why only pick one child? Number one. Number two, Elsa, sit over here. You don't have to be separate. Elsa, come close. If you come late, you always have to sit in the front. That's a klal gadol in teaching. You know that. So, number two is that if you were going to pick one child, it is striking that the one that's picked is the youngest. Now, we were introduced to Chase at the end of last year's learning, when we ended off last June at the end of Perek Dalid. So that's where we were introduced to Chase. We didn't know about him. He existed after the whole mess with Cain and Hevel, Sodom and Chava. They don't give up despite the tragedy. Again, it's not just losing a child. That's one level of tragedy. You have one child kill another is beyond comprehension, could certainly make more than one parent say, Fartig, that's enough. And yet, Adam and Chava have a third child, they have Chase. What's interesting is that of all people, I'm not saying there isn't an answer to this, in fact, we'll hopefully answer this next week, but just, it's an observation, if we're reading Pshat and Chumash, it's interesting, the Torah gives us this big introduction, these are the toldos of Adam, we know ahead of time, this is going to be the transition, the 10 generations from Adam to Noach, and yet, the lineage of Adam apparently only goes through Chase. Just look at the next pasuk. If you don't believe me, after the Torah then qualifies, V'yu yimei Adam, achrei holidu ha-Chase. Who are we caring about? Just Chase. How many years longer did Adam live? Shmona meos shana, another 800 years. Yolid banim u'banos. Who had more boys and girls? Not Adam. Chase had sons and daughters. And then we get to the conclusion of Yehu Kol Yimei Adam Asher Chai Shameos Shana Ushloshim Shana. Right? He lived 930 years. But again, we didn't just get that as one summary. We were first broken up by 130 and 800. What's the consequence of that breakup? Only one thing: the birth of Chase. Furthermore, then Adam dies. So what do we go to next? Pasuk Vav Vayechi Chase Chamei Shanim U'Mashana. In other words, what happens here in Parakeh? Cain and Hevel are written out of history. This is not a storybook. The first four Prakim were a storybook. This is like the official Sefer Yuchsin for the record books. And they're only, Adam is defined in the context of Chase. And as we're going to go, the next generation is going to be Chase's children. So the whole genealogy in the Yuchsin of humanity, main show, is through Chase. Why that is, what's the consequence of that, Simir Tashem, that will be a topic we'll start with next week. What I want to focus on this week, however, are the issues that were raised in the opening two psukim of the Perek. Very, very kind of almost grandiose, almost, Havil, pompous type of an introduction. Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. You know, that's like, gets a trumpet at first, right? That's not just a pasuk. That's like in bold. That kind of a puzzle, right? These are the toldos, what exactly does that mean, of the Sefer, why choose that word? Adam, who do we mean? A little confusing. Adam the person, Adam humanity. Then we get to the pasuk beis. We have Adam and Chava, Zachar and Akeva. We got plural, we got singular. A lot of different questions, okay? Anyone else have any observations or questions in the pshat and psukim themselves before we take a look and see what some of the mafarshim suggest? Anything else that I didn't bring up that bothers you, that you take notice of? Yes. That's next week. Okay, I'm not trying to be... We're going to get to those looking next. I want to focus now just on Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Beis, okay? So the first question we ask is, what are we talking about? Who are the Toldos Adam? Of who? Of what? What does the words mean? And who are we talking about? Two related, but separate questions. So let's take a look. Where do we always start when we have the option? With Rashi. What does Rashi tell us at the opening of our Perek? Look at the first Rashi in Perekei. Everyone have it? Perek Hey Pasuk Aleph inside the Rashi. That's the small print. On the bottom of the page. Perek Hey Pasuk Aleph. Everyone has a responsibility to find the place and to see the person sitting to the right if they have the place. Okay, everyone help each other. Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. Says Rashi. What does that mean? What are we talking about? Zuhi Sfiras Toldos Adam. And that's, with all the respect to you, that's where Art Scroll got it from. They didn't make it up. That's where it comes from. This is the recounting. What does toldos mean? Toldos in this context means the stories, the recounting of the descendants of Adam. And Rashi tells us, we're not going to focus on this per se, but it's kind of a tantalizing conclusion to this brief Rashi, Umidrashe Agada Yesh Rabim. And there's a lot of drush, a lot of medrash about this. In fact, there's an entire perek, if memory serves, perek chavdalid, in the Bereishis Rabbah. The entire perek of that medrash Rabbah is just on this opening pasuk. There's nothing else in Perek Hay, because there's not much else for the Medrash Darshan in the Perek. But there is a lot of Medrash on this Pasuk, even though we won't be focusing on it.
Yeah.
I think that's very likely. Yes, there's a certain, right, there's a certain Chesed, the Radak and others point out that here there's a certain overlapping of Sefer and Sphira, because this type of book is a Chesed, it's a collection, it's an accounting. Right, more that if you add the A in English, it works out nicely. Not just counting, but accounting of the events. This idea, which is briefly hinted at already at Rashi, is picked up on by two other Mefarshim who not only usually argue with each other, but also often argue with Rashi. Here, though, we have a nice Shalom. It's a good way to begin a new season with Shalom. Both the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban both take their cue from Rashi. Look at the top of your sheet if you have it. Please share if you don't have your own. Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam, says the Ibn Ezra, Habanim Ubnei Badim Shaholin. Who are we talking about? Not necessarily humanity as a whole in the most general sense, but we also do not mean just Adam the individual. We're referring to his family. Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam, not his life, the life and times of Adam the person. We want to focus on what is his legacy specifically in the biological sense. Who did he give birth to? Who are his children? Who are his grandchildren? Now this will beg the question, which is why did the Pasuk seem to start with Adam himself if the focus is on the children? And we'll try to get back to that in a second. Look at the Ramban for a second. The Ramban elaborates a little bit more, but again, you'll see, I think, it's the same basic approach. Says the Ramban, Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam, Habonim Asher Yazkir Reparsha. We're talking about those children and grandchildren that will be mentioned here in this chapter. Ulefi Dati, says the Ramban. He adds one little point, one little knetch. Yirmoz L'chol HaTorah. We don't just mean this perek. It's not just a grandiose, trumpeted introduction to the perek, that the perek is going to be the filler for Toldos Adam. Rather, the whole Torah is that. Ki kol HaTorah Kula, Sefer Toldos Adam, right? Everything that happens in the Torah really are happenings of the descendants of Adam, certainly as they go through Sheis. Al-Kainemar, and here the Ramban specifically focuses on, and this was asked a little bit before, why the term that is used is Sefer. Why didn't it just say, continue the Ramban, why didn't it just say, Ela Toldos Adam? After all, who can anticipate the continuation of the Ramban? We have other psukim in Torah later on, which do talk about other families, Toldos. Yet in those cases, it doesn't say Ela Toldos, Ela Sefer Toldos Yitzchak, Ela Sefer Toldos Yishmael. It doesn't say that. There are psukim, but they never include the word Sefer. Why? Because those are more specific families. If you speak about Adam, the father of mankind, so then we don't just mean specifically what happened to this family, but we're talking about what happens through, basically, to the Jewish people, to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it's the whole Torah which is going to be the exactly, and that's the Sefer. That's, we don't just mean the partial, we mean the whole book, the whole Sefer Torah. But in essence, other than that little addition, the Ramban is echoing what the Ibn Ezra said, also echoing what Rashi said. The Sephorno, also in this same school of thought, the Sephorno just adds a nuance, nothing significant, but a little nuance, says the Sephorno, Zeh Sipur, here clearly he sees it from the word Sipur, Toldos Vekoros Hamina Enoshi. Not just who are the children, you know, what's with the tape, what's the, you know, how's the kinder, you know, it's like almost like a reunion at a hotel lobby, you know, how are the kids, how's everybody doing, but not just that, it's also tell me what's going on, Toldos Vekoros, the happenings, not just, and that really works with the Ramban, right, because in this parak there's not much action, the parak is just going to be about genealogy, but if you think about the whole Torah, then it's not just genealogy and lineage, but we're also talking about what happened to all these people, what were the events of their lives, and what's also significant, which really going back to the title of my of the shir on top of the page, which the Sephorno already cues us in on, we have a very universalistic or global approach here in this perek and in this pasuk. He doesn't talk about specifically a particular group of people, let alone even particularly the Jewish people, says the Sephorno. Hamin ha'enoshi, the human race. We're not talking about the animals. We are talking about all humanity. This is the evolution. This is the story of the evolution and the evolving history of the min ha'enoshi of mankind. So if that's the case, if the whole focus of this perek, of the whole focus of this introduction is future-oriented, Rashi, Ibn Ezra, everyone says, oh, we're talking about the children and the grandchildren, the children and the grandchildren. So in light of that, let's just look back at the pasuk for a second. There's something that's a little bit clumsy, it seems. Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. Now again, let's read that in light of, right, a pretty heavy-duty, heavy-hitter list of commentaries, right? Rashi, Ramban, Ibn Ezra, Sforno. Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. These are the happenings of the children and grandchildren, the whole human race of Adam. So what would you expect then the continuation to be? Almost anything but what it actually is. Because from that very grand, future-oriented introduction, what's the transition? What's the next words in the pasuk? Very past and specific focused. B'yom bara Elokim Adam. B'dmus Elokim Asa. And here it's striking that dafka here we have the singular Oso. In contrast to the way the Mefarshim understand the introduction of the Pasuk, which is talking about future and plural. In contrast to the fact that in Pasuk Beis, as we mentioned, it's Osam, 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 plural. Here, when we thought we're about to get into the plural, we're about to get into the genealogy and the history and the people, all of a sudden we seem to take a step back and say about the day in which he himself, clearly this is talking about Adam individually. And it's almost like, you know, you try to take a step forward and you trip over your own feet. What is going on? Why does the Torah, especially in light of all these mefarshim, will say, we're focused, future, 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 the children, the grandchildren, right? Ura ein aklach, everybody. And now we, whoa, a second. Adam. I'm not saying there's not an obvious question, but it's a question that is not an obvious answer, but it's a question that has to be asked. But here, you don't agree with me, Gene? But leave aside the Oso for a moment. Although, there is, first of all, there's Osama. Second of all, also, even the description of B'yom Hibram, the day that he was born. B'yom Baro, excuse me. We're talking about a specific event, the creation of Adam. Yeah, so someone had their hand raised here. First one. I agree with that, but I don't know if that's alone sufficient enough to answer the question which I'm trying to ask, which is, if according to all these mafarshim, the introduction of the pasuk, Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam, is another way of saying, we're about to tell you, this is the headliner of the chapter, this is the story of the children and grandchildren of Adam, so I would have thought you would immediately start with Cain. Okay, for whatever reason we're going to start with Shay's, fine. But I wouldn't have started with Adam, where it's about his children and grandchildren. We had four prakim about Adam. Well, not maybe four, but three. Or two, really. Why are we starting with him now if according to the Mefarshim, this whole parak is about the future, yet the first thing we do is go back to the past, the day he, Adam himself, was born?
The same thing in the following parashah
of Noah. Eloh told us Noah. Good, good. And the Mefarshim asked the question there too? Right? Good, yes. But look, yeah, but in Perek Beis, the Tzimus is used also. Perek Beis already, the Tzimus is used. We have already been introduced to Tzelem and Tzimus. What exactly the differences are, why one is used. We spoke a little bit about that then. I don't want to focus on that now. I think, as much as I'm building up this question, I think there's an obvious answer. And it's an answer that we'll see in a later piece that Ramban himself hints at. But the Chizkuni, actually addresses most explicitly. Take a look at the next verse on your sheet. Fair enough. Yeah, it may be that there's no consequential difference. Are you looking for the lecture? Yeah, that's in the main show. You can go out here, go around, and then... No, that's okay. That's okay. So look at the Chizkuni. The Chizkuni says the following. Acharei shenolad sheis. After sheis has been born, Shimimenu, this is a hint at what we'll talk about next week, obviously, this is consequential. Shimimenu, Nivna Ha'olam. After all, who does the world come from? Who does the world stem from, right? It comes from Sheis, right? Hevel had no children. And Cain, it seems like, was never to be heard from again, by design. Chazar, Lo lichtov yitziraso shel Adam. We went back, and we went through the creation of Adam. Why? Simple. Lefi hu haya harishon. Right? We're giving an official genealogy, even though we've already done this. But even though we are future-oriented, then you can't build a big skyscraper without first building the first floor. And the first floor is Adam. Acharov, and afterwards, kol todosav, midor lador. So, the Ramban himself was bothered by this. Again, it's interesting, the Chizkiyim are not bothered by it, but I think their answer is pretty simple. Yes, it's true that the focus of the parak is the future, the focus of the parak is the children and the grandchildren, but nevertheless, before we get to that, even though, of course, we are well acquainted with the father, we are first going to mention that there was an Adam. And we'll get, even if it's only short shrift, it's one pasuk, we will quickly mention his birth, and then right away get into the birth of his child, specifically the one Chase, who we're going to focus on. Yes? Right, yeah, that's the, again, the Mepharshim there deal with that. It's a little bit similar. Yeah, right. Right. Fair enough. Good. Okay, so until now, what we focused on is some very, I think, important, but I would say very pshat-specific issues. What's the meaning of the word todos? Why use the word sefer? Why go back to Adam? But I wouldn't say we've seen any larger issues just yet. We've just seen some basic pshat in these introductory psukim, which will then lead into our perek. However, as I said in the introduction, and I want to be true, a man of my word, no false advertising here, what I think is really beautiful about these two psukim is not really what we've seen until now, rather what we will hopefully see from now till the end of this year, which is that in these brief two psukim, which are really could easily be glossed over as just introductions to what is otherwise a seemingly tedious technical list of genealogy, in these brief psukim, I think we have the introduction to two incredibly important, consequential, and really profound pieces of Jewish thought of Hashkafa. And I want to introduce that, the first one of them, which is really even the more global one, with a comment of the Talmud in Maseches Yerushalmi. Now, in Yerushalmi, now, if I were to take a step back for a moment, don't look at the sheet, cheaters never prosper, and ask you the following question. What would you consider, if you had to pick one, what would you consider the most consequential, absolutely necessary pasuk in the Torah? Somebody said to you, not Hillel, but you, standing on one foot, and you are going to tell me one thing about the Torah that I need to know. Give me a pasuk. That's an idea. Give me a pasuk. It's a confusion. We're so used to that, we think it's a pasuk. Okay, let's say, give me a pasuk. Which pasuk would you pick? Okay, the first of the Aseret Dibros, not a bad choice, Harry. Anybody else? Okay, let's get a serious answer. What else? Anyone else? It's not a trick question, and you can see by the way I answered Harry, you can't get it wrong. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. What do you think is important? Okay, I'll vote. Hashem. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Okay, that's a good one. We have Anochi, I'm your God, Shema Yisrael. Anyone else? What else do you think is really, really important? Oh, V'Adrach HaKamocha. Okay, so, come on. Yeah, you were all thinking that. This is not like an SAT where the obvious answer is a trick. No, we're looking for obvious answers. Right, V'Ahavta, right? You should love your fellow man. Love God, they believe in God, right? There are a lot of obvious things. And the truth of the matter is that there are a number of different sources, including the story I alluded to, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, where the prospective convert comes and says, I want you to teach me your whole Torah on one leg. He says to him, V'yahavta l'recha kamocha, love your fellow man. This is the Klal Gadol b'Torah, the Idach Perusha. This is the principle of the Torah. Everything else is just commentary on that. Okay? Very famous pasuk. In fact, there is a parallel text in which Rabbi Akiva himself makes the point again. But in this parallel text, there is a competing opinion. Let's see what it says. Look at this, the fifth source on your sheet. The Talmud Yerushalmi says, V'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha, love your fellow neighbor like yourself. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Zehu Klal Gadol b'Torah. That, if you want to know one thing, we're a loving, humanistic almost, kind, it's a personal focused religion. If you want to pick that one pasuk, it's not anything theological. It's not something philosophical. Ben amlamakom. It's ben amlachabero. It's viahapta l'reyach hakamacha. It's Rabbi Akiva. However, continues the Gemara, Ben Azai Omer. Ben Azai says no. And Ben Azai does not pick any of the top 100, which would have been on my list. Says Ben Azai, you didn't know it. We stumbled over it 30 minutes ago. Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. You want to know the most consequential, singularly important pasuk in the Torah? Perakei Pasuk Aleph in Bereishis. If they knew that, they wouldn't have gone to the Aliyah class. They would have stayed here. Right? It's not Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. It's this pasuk. Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. Zeh Klal Godol Mizeh, says Ben Azai. That's even more important and more consequential than Ve'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. Didn't have any friends. Not a Gansa Mishbucha. So, what's the implicit cynicism, Ethan? What's the question on this Gemara? So tonight's the Gemara. I got everyone's attention with the Gemara. I think that's clear. But let's take a step back and we would say, but Rabbi, fill in the blank. Give me a break. Right? Come on. I think according to my kids, come on is two words. Come on. Okay, come on. What do you mean? That's it. I promise you, I didn't cut out anything from the Gemara. There's nothing else on the Gemara that explains it. What does Ben Azai mean? We could argue on Yahavta versus Anochi versus Shema Yisrael versus, I don't know, Bereishis Bara Elokim. I mean, you know, we those, the, you know, as they would say in the base medrash, McCain Claren, you could discuss those options. Zeh, Sefer, Tulsa. I mean, you know, if I was in the base medrash and I was the Rebbe and somebody asked this, you give him a fraskin pair from the chutzpah. We're having a serious discussion here, and you're going to give me a joke that Sefer Toldos Adam? What could be so important about this pasuk? So I think there's two possible answers, two different explanations given in the Mefarshim. Before we see them, who wants to take a guess? Which is another way of saying we all come from one father. Right? We all come from one father, one mother. We come from the same family. Good. That is the what I would have guessed also. But there's a second possible significance to this. Very good. Excellent. This is unbelievable, the first two guesses. Were exactly the two different theories suggested in the Mefarshim. Beautiful. Let's take a look at those explanations. So the Yerushalmi, as some of you may know, Art Scroll has recently, they ran out of opportunities to raise money to translate the Bavli. So now they're translating the Talmud Yerushalmi. But it's very, very important because the truth of the matter is, I hope they'll do a good job, it's an incredibly, incredibly cryptic work. The Mefarshim, my Rebbe and Rebbe Rosenzweig, would often be critical or argue on the most basic commentaries of the Yerushalmi. But I remember he always used to say, it's not their fault. Like they were dealing with like quicksand. Like it's so cryptic and choppy. You say everyone did their best, but it's very, very difficult. It's really in that sense, and I wouldn't say closed book, but an almost closed book because of how difficult it is. So one of those heroes, I don't know his actual name, but one of the commentaries which heroically at least tries to do it, you know, certainly did a better job than I could have done, tries to do as good a job as possible at giving an explanation of the Talmud Yerushalmi, which you'll find on the page, I believe in virtually every page of the Talmud, is known as the Karbon Ha'eda. And in this commentary, he proposes or he mentions the two different explanations, and then we'll see an elaboration by some other commentaries as well. But let's look at the Karbon Ha'eda. Really, you open up a Yerushalmi, the first thing you look at is, what did the Karbon Ha'eda say? And sure enough, he gives us a very nice explanation. First thing he says is like Gene. Shekol b'nei Adam boi me'av echad. This is an important thing to know. We all come from the same family. Again, who's we all? Not just you and me. The people down the block. The people downtown. And the people in other counties in Maryland. We all come from one family, one father, who called Godol, which only is referring to your friends and neighbors, and the truth is, at least more generally, but certainly narrowly, fellow Jews. Reacha, reacha b'mitzvos. That's something that's much more specific. Narrow. Ben Azai is much more general, much more globalistic, much more universalistic. Exactly. Says the Karban Eid that this is the most consequential pasuk. At the end of the day, all humanity has not only a common history, but a common origin. We come from one family. However, he says, there's other explanations. What's that? It's not just referring to the opening, but rather, what was the end of the pasuk? Description of how Hashem created Adam bidmus Elokim, in the image of God. Tachsiv bidmus Elokim asa oso. So take a look at the next few sources. We'll see how these points are elaborated. Let's look, for example, at the Torah Tamima. The Torah Tamima is a fascinating work. The Torah Tamima is a relatively modern, 100 years or so work by Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein. Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein was always my hero. There's a few people like him, because he was actually, as far as I understand, a rich banker. But I guess he was so rich and so successful, he had some time to learn. And he actually was a relatively prolific author. The Torah Tamima is fascinating. It shows you how brilliant and how encyclopedic his knowledge was. There's two components to the Sefer. If you open it up, he has a Chumash, the Targum, and Rashi on the top of the page. It looks like any other Chumash. The first thing that he added was, he lists, not necessarily 100% comprehensively, but pretty darn close, he lists, pasuk by pasuk, which pieces of Chazal, meaning a Medrash or a Gemara, comment on this pasuk. No commentary, he just gives you like the one line quote, you know, dot, 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 see there, on each pasuk. He did that before computers. To do that now would take lots of man hours, but not necessarily any intelligence. Right, you plug each pasuk into a search engine, you'd spit out which text discussed the pasuk. He didn't live in the time of computers. So it's impressive in its own right. Then, he has on the bottom of the page, a commentary. And the commentary is very fruitful to study because it's very creative, very original, often highly, highly debatable. Okay, but we're not here passing any shilas based on him. We're not here saying he's the authoritative, you know, commentary. But he certainly, as a general rule, he always gives you what to think about. That's for sure. So take a look at what he says here. Here he says something which really, whether he realizes it or not, is just an elaboration on what we just saw in the Karban Eidah. But he is more expansive and a little bit clearer. He quotes Ben Azai, who's adding on to Rabbi Akiva. Why? D'mer Rabbi Akiva, Shaminan, first line, Rakmad, Alecha Sani, Mechaber Chalosavid, right? That famous story, which I told you about before, with the convert coming to, right, Hillel, what the way the formulation is there is actually in the negative. What is hateful or hurtful to you, Ma'ad Sani Alecha, what is hurtful and hateful to you, what you wouldn't want done to you, don't do to somebody else, right? It seems to be just the flip side of Yehazar HaChamacha. One is in the positive, one is in the negative. The Torah Tamima focuses on that. He says, Imke Mashma, if that's the only criterion, Demi She'er HaChoshe Shalchor Asmo, let's say you don't care, right? The average person wouldn't like to be embarrassed in public. So don't embarrass the neighbor if you wouldn't have liked to be embarrassed. We had an incident in Shul this past week where one of the Gaboyim made an innocent mistake and it hurt somebody. And it was very difficult for the person who got hurt, and he let loose a little bit on the poor gabbai. So if we could have freeze time and had everyone calm themselves, we would have said, listen, would you want to be yelled at in public in front of a few hundred people on a Friday night? You wouldn't want to, trust me, so maybe not to do it. But let's say he would have said to me, no, I wouldn't care. Some people don't mind, right? They have a strong, don't care. So says the Torah Tamima, if you just go with that negative, limited approach to Rabbi Akiva, if you don't want it to done to you, don't do it to somebody else. But what if I don't care? I have a lower standard of dignity, frankly. I have a high tolerance for embarrassment. There are people, I guess. Some people blush at anything. And some people, you could do almost anything to them and they don't seem to be embarrassed. So, says the Torah Tamima, if that's the case, someone who doesn't care about themselves, doesn't care about his own kavod, eno doresh lochush gam, right, to the bal kavod acherim, he's also not going to be in charge, he's not going to have to worry about those things for other people. So that's where Ben Azai says no. Alza Omar Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam B'dmus Elokim Asa Oso. He's focusing on the second explanation of that Karban Eidah. We're focused on the end of the pasuk, namely, Hine Ein Roi La Adam LaHakel B'Chvod Zuloso. A person should not take lightly the kavod, the dignity of his fellow person. Lo rach mishum da alecha sani. Not just because you wouldn't want it done to yourself. El gam mishum shenivra b'dmus elokim. Every other human being is a tzelem elokim. So whether you would care or not, this is not the way to treat someone who's made in the image of Hashem. V'emekel b'chvodo. If you don't take so seriously this person's kavod, havikemekel b'dmus hayotzer. You don't take Hashem's kavod seriously. Right? Imagine, right? This all the time, like in an army, right? You have the chveis, you know, I imagine always like with the ancient, you know, 19th century, you know, Russian armies, right? You had the czar, and you got the army, right? If you did anything to one of those soldiers, why were you going to get in so much trouble? Because that was considered an affront to the czar himself. They're wearing the official uniform of the army, of the czar. So too, says Torah Tamimah, this is what Ben Azai meant. If you are mekil, so to speak, he's using a halachic terminology, if you take lightly, if you don't take seriously enough, if you're insufficiently reverential to the basic derech eretz that everyone deserves, not only are you going to hurt them, but by so doing, in essence, you're hurting, you're impugning the kavod and the dignity of Hashem himself. Now, if more people would just think about that before they let loose, I have a feeling that it wouldn't stop everyone. Some people have a temper, some people don't have self-control. But I think a lot of people would say, you know what, this guy deserves to be fashmeted, I don't care about him. But the Baruch Shalom, I mean, I gotta be careful. So, we saw two explanations propounded in the Karban HaEidah. Which one is this Torah Tamimah elaborating on? The second one. Not genes, we're all one big family, but rather, we're all, in all of us, descendants of Adam, which means we're also like he was, descendants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have an image stamped right here, and therefore, we have to be careful. Take a look now at Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch, I think, elaborates more on the other opinion, the first opinion in the Karban HaEidah, which is what I would have thought, also what Gene suggested. Zeh Sefer Tolos Adam. The whole history of mankind, with its lowest depths and its loftiest heights, which shows human beings in the most varied happenings, forms one whole. This being so, we can understand the sayings. Rabbi Akiva taught, love thy neighbor as thyself, is the great all-embracing sentence of the teaching. At the bottom, there is only one avera, selfishness, egoism. And Rabbi Akiva was obviously reacting to that. But Ben Azai is of the opinion that our sentence, Zeh Sefer Tolos HaAdam, is a still greater, still more comprehensive one. Here, a much greater, higher union of men is giving. The verse looks on the greatest criminal, the greatest denigration, the greatest bestiality, all as toldos Adam. All is developing out of one Adam, the once creation in the likeness of God. All together entered into God's great book of the world, in which he enters mankind. Toldos, that's interesting, some of the Mefarshim write toldos with an extra vav. But if you look in the Chumash, how is the word toldos spelled? How many vavs? Why, right? There's no vav at the end. That's what's called chaser. It's missing that second vav. So it says Rav Hirsch, a nice homiletical explanation. Todos written chaser. Even the deficient, imperfect products of humanity are still todos Adam. Even the chaser ones are todos Adam. So we're all not only one family, but we're all from one father, so to speak, both Adam and also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something really, I think, important to mention. And to bring it all home, even though he actually does never quote, as far as I can recall in this article, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik never quotes our Pasuk. But Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, in a broader speech, which was then written up in an essay, in a book of his collected essays, entitled Logic of the Heart, Logic of the Mind, which was published about 13 or 14 years ago, I remember because I had bought it just before someone gave it to me as an engagement present. Don't you hate when that happens? The publisher was Genesis Press. Genesis Press was founded by Rabbi J. Marcus, who was the founding, was the rabbi of Yonkers of Staten Island, and then since made Aliyah to Beit Shemesh, Beishit Yerushalayim. One of his projects on his way to Aliyah was this Genesis Press. So he was the rabbi of Staten Island, which, as some of you may know, is where my wife is from. So during our courtship, I would go for Shabbos as an out-of-towner. I didn't have parents to go to, but I always went to Staten Island, and I stayed at the Marcus's. So I got particularly close. So he had published, I don't know, 7 or 8 books at that point. So for our engagement, he gave me all the books. So 3 or 4 I didn't own, but the ones I really wanted, I had already bought. No, what could you do? I don't remember what I did with the other one, but I think I made a mistake. I think I told him which ones I had, which was really a mistake. At least I could have 2 copies. I could have given someone else as a present. But anyway, so I have one copy of this excellent, excellent work by Aaron Soloveitchik, really very fascinating. And he has a very important 5-6 page article there in general about what I consider to be, some of you may recall, 4+ years ago, I spoke about it, I believe, my first Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, which is what I think is a little bit of an inappropriate, how shall I say, elitism. That's a nice way of putting it. That our community has towards non-Jews, which I think is at best unbecoming and unproductive, and at worst, really inappropriate, perhaps usher. And one of the points that I mentioned way back then was, in essence, this point, which is all people, all races, were all created by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So there's a famous medrash, I didn't quote it here on the sheet, but I did quote it then 4 years ago, a famous medrash. It's actually a very shocking one because it gives you the name of one of the most famous Tanaim who sees as he's walking an incredibly ugly person and makes a comment. It's a little bit shocking, but that's what the Chazal say. So this person says to the Rav, what are you making fun of me for? Why don't you make fun of the one who made me? Incredibly important medrash. Huh? I hope so. The point is that if you're talking about people's behavior, so that's their decision. If you're talking about basic values that they're born with, certainly like the color of their skin, they're Jewish, they're not Jewish, things like that, let alone within... So there's no basis. Not only is there no basis for it, it impugns Hashem. The Pasuk says in Hazinu, Hatsur Tamim Pa'olo, that everything that Hashem made is Tamim, is perfect. All of his works are perfect. And the Medrash elaborates on this same point. By that, if Hashem created somebody, so they're all B'tzam Elokim. It's exactly what the Mefarshim have been saying on our Pasuk. And in fact, in a few short words, I just want to share with you what Rav Aaron said then, which some of it is what I had said in that Drasha. This is the first sentence I have here is the opening sentence of the essay. From the standpoint of the Torah, there can be no distinction between one human being and another on the basis of race or color. Now, he does point out, which is not our topic, which is that we do believe in something called Kedushas Yisrael, and we do believe in something called Am HaNivchar, the chosen people. He's certainly, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and any of the Mefarshim we've quoted are denying that. And in Rav Aaron's essay, he then goes on to explain what that means. But certainly what we're talking about here is when you look, I'm not focusing so much on Jew versus non-Jew, but what I was specifically focusing on then was within the non-Jewish world, there seems to be a certain focusing on a certain group for denigration, which has zero basis in legitimacy according to our Hashkafa. And he continues and he points out that there is a Beferish Pirkei Avos. Right? Even if you didn't learn Pirkei of Bereishis, and even, are you looking for Nefesh B'Nefesh? In the main shul. I don't think they waited for him. Okay. Whoever listens to these tapes is really confused. We have people in Israel. Remember, I mentioned to you last year that there's a woman in Rehovot who listens to the shiur every week. I don't know who she is. I never met her, but she emailed me to compliment me and ask questions on the shiur. So if you're listening, there are some people in Baltimore who may make aliyah, but they're in a different room. Okay. Anyway, so even if you didn't learn Parakei of Bereishis, if you don't say it here for Sefer Tolos Adam, it's a little more esoteric. There's a famous Mishnah in Parakei Avos. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem. Beloved or special is mankind, because they were created B'Tselem, in the Tselem Elokim. And that's what he quotes here. Wouldn't you know it? It's from Rabbi Akiva also. That's what Rabbi Aaron quotes. The saying Rabbi Akiva, beloved is man who is created in the image of God, implies that every human being, regardless of race, origin, or creed, is endowed with divine dignity. Consequently, all people are treated with equal respect and dignity. The first major, major point, easily glossed over and missed, especially if you were listening to Kriyas HaTorah on Bereishis. So if you pay attention for the first four prakim, you got exciting, riveting narrative, then you hit Parakeh, and it's like, okay, when's the Haftorah? And, you know, like, this is the boring part of Bereishis. It was a three-day Adda, so you didn't even hold top for the first four prakim. I hope Balkorei paid attention. Okay, Ethan. Anyway, the bottom line is, but I think, and this is one of the beauties of this whole shir, which is where we take a fresh look at these familiar psukim. This is not so familiar because we don't often pay attention to it. But even those of us who paid attention to this pasuk, we could easily gloss over it. Say, you put together all these sources, you have a major piece of hashkafa in this seemingly innocuous pasuk. Zeh Sefer Tolos Adam. Ben Azai says it's the Klal Gadol in the whole Torah. Either because it shows that we're all one big happy family of man, which is kind of like what we're talking about here, or because not only are we all ultimately one thing, family, but also not just because we have one father with a lowercase f, Adam. We have the uppercase F, we have the Avinu Shebashamayim, which gives whatever the differences or whatever the notion, which there certainly is, of a Kedusha Shisrael, but that does not mean that anyone else is lacking the basic dignity or the basic Tzelem Elokim, which certainly applies, as the Mishnah in Perek Yovos says, to all human beings. We have a little bit less than 10 minutes to mention one last point. The last point really comes from Pasuk Beis, which is also of significant hashkafa, along the same lines, but a little bit more narrow in focus. Look at Pasuk Beis again. We mentioned, I won't read it back inside, but we mentioned that there's confusion in the Pasuk because it talks about Adam, and yet it talks about it in the plural. Usually we think of Adam, if we mean the plural, we would mean everybody, human race, as we just saw. But here the Pasuk seems to be talking about Adam and Chava, Zachar and Nekeva, but yet it uses plural, yet Adam. They're all called Adam. What does exactly that mean? Furthermore, the Pasuk also talks about them being blessed. What did the Pasuk say? Vayavarech osam, that they were blessed. So, for the sake of time, I'm going to paraphrase the two Hebrew sources, and then we'll conclude by reading Refersh. The Ramban points out something very interesting. What was unique about Adam and Chava, vis-a-vis how they were created, and yet, what is going to be the theme of this Perek, how they then create future generations? Right, what's the inconsistency? They were not products of procreation. Right, they were created, either you want to call Yesh Me'ayin or Yesh Me'yesh, if you want to call the dust something. Right, she from him, if you look at it that way. But a typical biological organism, you would suspect, if I'm the product of whatever procreation, whether it's when certain cells procreate, other species, or even human beings, so if I'm a product of it, so presumably, unless there's something deficient, I will inherit the same capability to procreate as I am the reproduction, as I am the result of. That is exactly the way biology works, as far as more or less. Here, Ramban points out, this is like exactly what the Pasuk in the Bible, what does that mean they were blessed? There was lots of things. The Pasuk here specifically means, even though they were not the result of a physical procreation, Vayavarech osam, Hashem gave them what naturally they should not have had, was the ability to procreate as human beings can. I think that's an interesting observation, number one. Number two, the Radak of David Kimchi. He points out something which is what Rav Hirsch elaborates on, which is that this idea that our Pasuk stresses, that both, in our Pasuk, both are called Adam. Of course, we know, Parbeya told us that Chava has her own name, she's called Chava. We even are told the etymology, what the word Chava means and where it comes from. But in our Pasuk, they are called Adam. Why? So one thing he doesn't say, but those of us who were learning together last year, I hope will recall, there's a whole theory in Medrash that when Adam was created, he actually was created du partzufim, androgynous, with two faces, literally a front and a back, one being Adam's, one being Chava's. So it wasn't just that there was a male known as Adam who went to sleep, and in the second parak, his rib was fashioned into Chava. That's one simple approach. It's not so simple, but relatively more simple. However, the other approach says, no, even the original Adam, created from the dust of earth, was du partzufim, was this androgynous creature. And when it says that Adam went to sleep with the rib, what it really is saying is that androgynous creature was separated into two. So certainly, these psukim specifically, certainly are supportive of that one pshat. But beyond a historical or biological reality, what did the first being look like? Says the Radak, and it's something that Rav Hirsch then picks up on hundreds of years later, there is a philosophical or almost ontological statement being made as well, which is there a primary and secondary part of the human race? Right? If you ask some people, right, they'll tell you, yes, the Torah is inherently sexist. After all, Adam came first, and Chava comes second. So it's not just Rav Hirsch living in a little bit of time of upheaval, 19th century Germany, maybe he's going to get some pressure, maybe he has to write some apologetics. And the Radak, the medieval biblical sage, lived well before there were any complaints and allegations of sexism, etc., and feminism against the Torah. Says the Radak, let's just look at the last Hebrew word, the Hebrew line, and then we'll see Rav Hirsch hundreds of years later in Germany picking up on the theme. Afa isha nikreis adam, ki al shnehem nikreis nas adam. Shame, by this name, by this title, hivdila mishar hachayim asher ba'adama. There's something singular, unique about Adam, higher than all of the other creatures of creation, and that is implied by the name Adam. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us in this pasuk that that status, that endowment of sanctity and dignity, applies just as much to Adam, the man, as Chava. Rav Hirsch doesn't quote the Radak, but clearly strikes the same theme, says very beautifully. It is equally untrue that dividing the mission of life in the world between men and women is something arbitrary. Right from the beginning, God reached mankind, male and female, both equally godly of equal worth, neither more in the likeness of God than the other. Both given the same blessing by God, and as we would say, and if I was writing this, italics in the original, both together given the name Adam. Exactly the same point as the Radak. He elaborates on it. As the Radak had said, Adam is not just another species in creation, a more advanced along a progression. Adam is qualitatively different and superior than all other creatures. What exactly that superiority is, what does Tzelem Elokim mean? You have to go to the internet and see the archive shiur, and we did spend some time. We discussed that. We had a dedicated shiur to that. Very important topic. But what's important here, says the Radak, and hundreds of years later, in a completely different geographical and sociological milieu, says Rav Hirsch, is that fundamentally the Torah is telling us that in terms of ontological value, which means the basic meaning and value of a person, the meaning of creation, the basic worth of Adam and Chava is exactly identical. It's especially striking if you view the original creation as androgynous, then it's almost obvious, self-evident. But even if you take the other approach, Rav Hirsch is not limiting himself to the word the Radak, it's still true that they both come from this idea. I'll just end with a story. I think I may have mentioned to you, maybe when we learned originally, two stories about my children. One of my children, my daughter, who's she's an oldest, she's a firstborn, so she's bossy by nature. So she was three, she was being very bossy, and I said to Eliana, you are not the boss. She looked at me, and Abba said, neither are you. I said, what do you mean? Mommy is the boss. My son, who was learning Bracious, as well as Bracious in the beginning, so he came home and the Rebbe said, well, there's a pasuk about how Abba has to be in charge. I said, Yaakov, there's pashup shot, and then there's truth. And Abba ain't in charge of nothing. Yeah, that's my son. Yeah, I made sure that he didn't go past first grade with any misconceptions. He already knows the real deal. And we love our mom. Okay. I promise everyone comes next week, there'll be enough sheets for everybody. We will pick up with the shiur next week. Just so you should know, this through the week of November 20th, I think, until then, the next 3 weeks, I think that is, we will meet regularly, unless something that I don't know comes up. That week, the week that we're Sunday is the 18th, so that week, whatever, that Wednesday would be the 21st or 2nd, so that week I will still be out of town. That is, there's a share my sister's wedding, she'll still be in Shabbat because I will not be back yet. But other than that, we're pretty much set for the next few weeks, and we, until the constructors finish, we'll be meeting here, and hopefully in future weeks we'll not be interrupted by Nefesh meetings.